Seems edible to me.
Keg of water here. Feels about two-thirds full, or perhaps it's nearer three-quarters. Possibly four-fifths, or five-sixths.
We get the picture, Doc. But there's no boy here. No sign of my son.
The far end of the underground room held a pile of wood, mostly broken joists and rafters, presumably looted from some of the tens of thousands of buildings that had fallen a century ago. Ryan walked past the fire, opening his coat and wiping beaded sweat from his forehead. He looked around the cellar.
Ah, big fucking bug!
Ryan turned his sharp eye toward something gleaming among the wood. It looked as though it had been tucked there as a hurried hiding place when the scalies came bursting in. He stooped and picked up the object, angling it to the firelight to see what it was. Aware that the others had all turned to look at him, he waved it.
Knife. A little knife. But the blade's real sharp. It's pretty. Hilt carved from what looks like turquoise.
It's small. And the Navajo use a lot of that green stone, don't they? Remember it from around Taosville.
Yeah. Could be.
It was a powerful and disturbing feeling for Ryan, holding something in his hand that might have belonged to his son. It might be Dean Cotter's knife. Ryan found a sheath of soft deerskin, and he slid the blade into it and tucked it into one of his pockets. Mildred was still outside.
Weather's getting real bad, folks.
Just what we need. I want to get off and try and track them down while the trail's still fresh.
Way Dredd talked about them, the Scalies control most of this southwest part of the Ville. Big base around the docks. They must have taken the boy there. Nowhere else.
Guys? There's the biggest mother of a storm I ever saw, and it looks as if it's heading our way.
Then they all moved to the steps, pushing past a heavy section of wood paneling that had obviously served the hideout as a door.
Dark night. You're right, Millie. We've seen some big ones down by the gulf. Acid storms that take the skin off you in a couple of minutes. But this is gonna be hard.
Temperature's up a little. It might be rain, not snow.
Either way, I think I would rather have a roof over my head. Even if it's this smelly den behind us.
Ryan desperately wanted to get out after the creatures that had stolen his son. There was no way of knowing whether Dean was still living, but the attempt had to be made. Would be made. But not yet. Not with the deep purple and black clouds that were tearing in from the northeast, reaching toward the Ville like the clenching fist of an angry giant.
No, lover.
What?
You were thinking about going after the boy.
So?
You were going to go out into that storm.
No, I wasn't.
Suddenly, she grabbed him, fingers biting into the flesh below his elbow.
Don't lie to me, you bastard, Ryan.
I didn't really...
You die, and what are his chances? You stoop, Ryan. Sit it out and then go. Can't be that difficult to find hundreds of Scalies, even in a Ville of this size. And don't lie to me. Don't let this son of yours come between us and the way it's always been.
For the first time in quite a while, Ryan was without words. And deep down, he knew she was right. There was time to throw out the decaying bodies of the dogs, making the cellar a little less oppressive. But moving the carcasses also disturbed nests of maggots and great swollen blowflies, which hummed around them, settling on faces and hands, and leaving the shuddering feeling of filth.
Yow!
You okay?
Yeah. Damn bug bit me.
Here, let me take a look.
No, I'll be fine. We gotta take care of these bodies before we shack up.
Mildred snuck a look anyway, noticing that the side of his face was already inflamed. But she knew that JB wasn't the kind of man to make a lot of unnecessary fuss.
You should let me take care of that.
Don't fuss. It'll be fine.
The old man appeared outside, just as they were about to batten down against the storm. He came from nowhere, watching them, his roomy eyes darting toward the heap of dog meat lying in the ice-slick highway. Less than 5 feet tall, he wore a coat that positively glistened with dirt and ancient grease. His feet were hidden inside boots of different sizes and shapes. The wind was tugging at strands of silvery hair.
Ryan, can he...
No.
No? Why?
Because he could have any kind of weapon. There's no point.
The old man had shuffled nearer.
You friends of them they took?
Why?
Don't, Harry, don't. I was just...
I won't hurt you unless you give me a reason to. You want shelter against the storm?
In there?
Sure.
don't like being ass fucked.
What?
You heard me, mister.
Well, you have my word I won't ass fuck you.
And that goes double for me.
Just as long as it's understood. I heard about you outies and what you do to each other.
You can get inside. First, you said something about the people who were staying here.
Yeah, they was good. Gave me food, jolt if they had it. I got them fish sometimes, because I knew where to go. The old docks. You just gotta watch out for them lizard bastards. They'll shove their cocks up your ass before you can blink.
Thanks for the warning. You got a name?
Called Bluff.
Well, you'd best get inside, Bluff. The storm's right on top of us.
Hidden beneath a pile of firewood were a number of coils of good rope. JB split them up and gave everyone a length to wear wrapped around the waist.
They'll be useful when we try to get back to the gateway.
Christy had been putting more wood on the fire, building it up again from the dull ashes. Doc took a spare hank of rope and used it to fix the makeshift door into place. Before it was completely shut, Ryan went back out for a last look at the weather.
Fire blasted. Fuck it.
Once they were battened down, Ryan intended to have a word with Bluff about the group that had been living in the basement, and about the young boy who'd been with them. His ears sang with the pressure of the wind, and he ducked, tears brimming in his good eye. He wiped it with his sleeve, readying himself to return down the steps, when he noticed a flurry of movement low to the ground, near the scattered corpses of the dogs. It looked like a man on his belly, crawling to steal some of the rotten meat. But if it was a man, then he was exceedingly tall. The curtain of sleet parted momentarily, and Ryan blinked as a great sheet of glowing lightning tore the sky apart. The sight took his breath away. Creeping away from the stinking heap of meat were two enormous, pale-skinned alligators, as big as anything Ryan had ever seen down in the bayous. In that moment of frozen magnesium whiteness, he figured them to be 30 feet long, with gaping jaws and razored teeth. The lightning frightened the reptiles, and they slithered away, each with its mouth jammed with mangled haunches of dog. Ryan had once read an old book about people having alligators as pets before Skydark had come. When the reptiles grew too big, their owners flushed them down the toilets. The book claimed they bred in the sewers and grew to enormous lengths. But he remembered that the book said the creatures were all a fantastic myth. Fantastic, yes. Myth, apparently, no. At last, the core of the storm came swooping down with a murderous intent on the Ville of New York. Ryan clambered inside and lashed the door firmly into place. The barrier trembled under his hands, quivering with the power of the slashing rain. A little water was already leaking around the sides, and he could feel a chill draft knifing into the cellar. But the fire was now blazing brightly, and Ryan joined Christy, who was sitting on the stone floor. Bluff squatted opposite them, hands held out toward the lapping flames.
You knew these people?
Sure did. Kind they were. I gave them fish.
Tell me about the little boy.
The old man looked puzzled.
Little boy? What? There wasn't no little boy living here.
No little boy?
Let me go.
Ryan wasn't even aware he'd moved, but his fingers were locked into the old man's wattled neck. Bluff's seamed face was turning purple, and his yellow tongue was protruding so far from the mouth that it looked like a dying snake.
Damn it, lover, let him go!
He said there wasn't any little boy, the lying bastard.
No, there wasn't! No babies at all!
I didn't say babies, I said a little boy, you deaf stoop.
What do you mean, a little boy? There was a kid there, all right?
What did he look like?
Like about as tall as me, taller. Yeah, taller. Not a little boy at all. Be about 12 years old, hard as... I can't remember his name.
Try.
Dean! Dean! Real black hair, that was it. Mother was the one with the bad cut face. Nice, though. Looked after Dean. Like a she-gator with young ones. Whew. Dean, yeah. But he's not a little boy, you bloodthirsty fuck. He's taller than me, he is.
Taller than you? Shit. Tell me everything you know about him if you want to see tomorrow.
Bluff didn't have too much to tell them about Dean Carter. It rapidly became obvious to Ryan and the others that the old man was a born scrounger, used to attaching himself to groups that might help him to survive, offering any sort of help he could, in any way anyone might want. But he hadn't been close to the previous inhabitants of the cellar. The old-timer was aware of the boy, though it seemed as if he and the lad hadn't hit it off. He complained that Dean hadn't trusted him, and had tried to persuade the others to bar him from the shelter of the cellar.
But the Scalies got him just the same. Dodged the first raid. Clever at that, he was. Got him all, they did.
Outside, the storm was cataclysmic, seeming to make the whole building shiver. Rain